It's time for the Hour of Power, where numerous churches and ministries in Western Oklahoma come together to produce a program found on the internet at therockchristianmusic.com. If you have a specific prayer request or you would like to share about an answer to prayer in your life, text the word pray to 68683, then share your request. This is your connection to other Christ followers and prayer warriors. Welcome to the Hour of Power.
Good morning. You are tuned in to the Hour of Power, the most powerful hour of the day. I'm Tina Dobbs, sitting in the driver's seat. Monica Lovell is back there making faces at me behind the iPad. And our guest this morning is Jason Mung. How are you doing this morning?
Good. How are you guys?
Good. We got a surprise. Glad to see you this morning. If you have a praise report or a prayer request, you can send them to us three ways. You can email it to hourofpower32@gmail.com. You can text it to 580-485-0837, or you can comment on the Facebook post, and we'll do our best to get it on paper and pray for you about halfway through the program. We do record in two parts, and I'll get those uploaded shortly after the program is ended to our website. Our sponsor for today is Spain's Construction and Remodeling out of Weatherford, Oklahoma. Quality work by a company with Christian values. If you would like an entry onto our book blessing wheel for the month of July, all you got to do is like, share, and comment. Done on the Facebook post. Our book for July is Flickering Lamps, Christ and His Church by Henry and Richard Blackaby. I think I covered it all. Would you like to pray to start us out?
You bet. Father, we thank you for the stage you've given us. God, we thank you for your word. God, we just thank you that it would go forth and just fall into good soil, Father. We just thank you that for every person that's listening today, Father, I just think about the uniqueness of each and every person's life and the relationship that we can have with you. And so, Father, I'm just thankful for that relationship today. We thank you for your Holy Spirit. Just invite him in here now to speak and to say what he has to say. And we just thank you for all that in Jesus' name. Amen.
I like your title this morning, Walking in Your Deliverance.
Walking in Your Deliverance. This is something I think is pertinent for the hour. A couple weeks ago, spoke on here, and we kind of went through the book of Exodus, kind of looked at the children of Israel and them being delivered from Egypt. And I kind of want to do a continuation of that story and kind of look. So I'll just kind of recap. Into the book of Exodus, basically God had sent Moses in as the prophet and told his people, I'm going to set you free. And then, of course, as we go through Exodus, we see that the plagues come. We see even in that moment the hard times come even for the Israelites even more because of that. And that's kind of one of the things I want to focus on is kind of looking at what that looks like in today's society and what we're going through currently. Because I know at a national and even worldwide level, we're kind of seeing things in an uproar, a stirring, like we have never seen before. And God's just taking me back to Exodus. And this is actually, I started reading on and I was like, man, this is so good. I've got to share this. I got to get this out there. Just kind of what he's been speaking to me in my life and moving forward, because I know, just the transition of me going from the workforce into full-time ministry, it's a challenge at times when you're looking at paying the bills and all of those things. Just what does that look like? And oftentimes, if we're not careful, we'll look at the circumstance or the things that we're going through and make them the biggest thing instead of keeping God as the mm-hmm. biggest thing. And as we look into his word and through these stories in the Bible, it's a good reminder, it's a good reminder because God speaks through his word of don't look at those things. Don't put your focus on the wrong places. Keep your focus on me. Not only that, we're given specific instructions of things that we're to do, and we're going to touch some of those scriptures. But again, just kind of looking at the book of Exodus and seeing when God said he was going to set his people free, there was nothing come hell or high water, as we say, that was going to change what God said, right? Nothing was going to change that. And it didn't matter what mindset that the Israelites had. It didn't matter what the Egyptians decided that they wanted to do. There was nothing that was going to change the purpose and the plan that God had. But what we can do and what the Israelites could have done, some of them did, some of them didn't, we're going to look at that, was keep that same mindset. God said it, so I'm just going to be still in this. I'm going to know that He is God. I'm going to trust Him. I'm going to rely on His faithfulness. And I mean, even looking at this time, this is pretty early on in the Bible text, right? But God had already shown His faithfulness in generations past. Now, as us looking at the Bible 2,000-something years later on the other side of Jesus even, there are so many recordings of God's faithfulness through history. And those are faith builders for us. Those are places for us, as the Word says, those are the anchors for our soul to know that this is the truth of the Word of God. So if I can always go back here and grab a hold of something in the Word of God and say, if you did it here, you'll do it for me. Why? Because He's no respecter of men. You know, we're all children of God, no matter what generation that we were born in. Now, decades, centuries, thousands of years ago, we're children of God, right? And so we're going to hold on to the truth of what His Word says. So I'm just going to kind of start on the other side of that story of Exodus. And we're going to kind of jump into Numbers 13, if you guys want to kind of turn there. I'll finish recapping on Exodus. So we see that Moses comes in. It gets worse as far as the things that are going on to the Israelites, but it didn't change what God was going to do. And ultimately, we see at the end of the story, I love this, it says that the Israelites walked out, and it says that their hands were raised high in defiance of Egypt. Like, in that moment, they understood who we are. And there's a part in there in Exodus, and I touched on this recently, where it says, where the Israelites, they seen themselves as slaves. They'd been in slavery for 430 years. So that was their identity. That's who they'd seen themselves as the slaves. But God still called them His army. That's what He calls them in the book of Exodus when He's referring to them. And then I love it there at the end when they're walking out, when that day comes, when their deliverance is there and they're walking out of Egypt, their hands are held high in defiance of Egypt and the rule that had been over them, and walking in the freedom that Christ, or that God had told him, you're going to have. You're going to have this freedom. And it was a fulfillment of God's word. But that was only part of the story. That was only a partial fulfillment. That was their freedom from Egypt. The Israelites then walked out into Egypt. But now there was a journey ahead of them. And that's where we're going to start running into. There was a journey ahead of them that goes into the book of Numbers and Leviticus and Deuteronomy and Joshua. That kind of continues all through there. But in Numbers, we see them now, as it states in Scripture, this would have taken about 9 days from to leave the land of Egypt and go into this land that was promised to them of milk and honey, as the word refers to it, that it was about a 9-day journey, right? But what we've seen along the way, literally as they walked out in defiance, knowing who they were, some life showed up, right? Mm-hmm. There was some things God had moved in. He kept moving in miraculous ways. And just as a reminder, they had lived in slavery for 430 years. They had never seen God the way that they seen Him. He literally now came down from heaven and presented Himself as a cloud for their guidance by daytime. That cloud would turn into a pillar of fire at night. He literally became their guide, their leader, showing them out of these things. Of course, God had used Moses' life in this way as well, just to speak the words of God. We see as we go read through this story, and I do want to tell you guys, don't just go in here and pick out these scriptures that I'm pulling out today. I want you to go ahead and read this whole story. Read the book of Exodus, read the book of Numbers, read the book of Joshua, read the whole book, get the context and see what God shows you in here. I'm just going to kind of pull some things out of here. And for my normal way of teaching, this is kind of unnatural for me. God's kind of been stretching me and pulling me too, because I usually do. I just go read the whole thing. But in this context, we don't have the time just to go and read the whole word. So I'm just kind of having to pull out the highlights. But you need to get in there and read the whole thing. I always encourage people when I teach, don't just go in there and read my little excerpts that we highlighted. Go in there and read the whole thing. If you want to highlight those that I did, great. But read the whole thing. Get the full context of the scripture and see what the Holy Spirit teaches you in these moments too. So let's continue on. We're going to start reading. And I'm going to go to 13, Numbers 13. We're going to start in 25. And I read the New Living Translation. So if mine sounds a little bit different than yours, that's what I read from. After exploring the land for 40 days, the men returned to Moses, Aaron, and the whole community of Israel at Kadesh in the wilderness of Paran. They reported to the whole community that they had seen and showed them the fruit that they had taken from the land. There was a report to Moses, "We entered the land you sent us to explore, and it is indeed a bountiful country, a land flowing with milk and honey." So what he did is he just come into agreement with what God had already said, right? Indeed, a bountiful land, a land flowing with milk and honey. That's the way God said it was. Here's the kind of fruit it produces. But the people living there are powerful, and their towns are large and fortified. We even saw giants there, the descendants of Anak. The Amalekites live in Negev, and the Hittites, the Jebusites, the Amorites live in the hill country. The Canaanites live along the coast of the Mediterranean Sea and along the Jordan Valley. But Caleb tried to quiet the people as they stood before Moses. "Let's go at once and take the land. We can certainly conquer it." But the other men who had explored the land with him disagreed. "We can't go up against them. They are stronger than we are." So they spread this bad report about the land among the Israelites. "The land we traveled through and explored will devour anyone who goes to live there. All the people we saw are huge. We even saw giants there, the descendants of Anak. Next to them, we felt like grasshoppers." And I want you to keep this in your mind right here. And that's what they thought too. So what we see here is they go in, and if we back up a little bit in this story of Numbers, basically what they'd done is they'd chosen 12 spies from the 12 tribes to go in there and take a look at the land. And what happened was 10 of those came back, and as it says in 32, they spread this bad report. There was two of them that held on to what God said, right? "This is our land," and you'll see if you go back into 30, it says, "But Caleb tried to quiet the people as they stood. Let's go at once and take it. We can certainly conquer it." Again, you see him coming into agreement with the words of God, right? God had already told them, "I have given this to you. So go in there and take it. I will be with you. I will go before you." And again, they have just seen God in a way they have never seen him before, in power, in presence. God's presence was literally among them. Mm-hmm. And that was an amazing thing for them to be able to walk in that way. But we get down to the end, and he says, "But next to them, we felt like grasshoppers," and that's what they thought too. So he's saying, this is what the enemy thinks too. They think we're grasshoppers too, right? So when I was reading this, I was like, man, this is crazy. And God was just showing me, how did they know what the enemy thought? You know, how did they know what the enemy thought? Well, I can tell you that the enemy, and what he does is he comes in and he tries to implant these thoughts, right? Mm-hmm. He tries to put his will or his purpose or all this fear and worry and anxiety and all these things on you. But as we see here, we see two different types of people. We see Caleb, and Joshua was the other spy, that they came back and they were saying, "We agree with what God has said." And then you see 10 others, and when you look at that, that's not very good odds. That's like 83% people are like against, right? Not coming in agreement. And not only did the 83% not agree, what did they do? They spread the message. They began to spread to everybody else because of their disbelief, to their discontentment of what they, and the way I look at this is, how many times do we rely on what the five senses, right? I've talked about this, what we can see, what we can smell, what we can hear, what we taste. We rely so much on the five senses instead of relying on what God has to say. And the way I say that is, the five senses are the natural, but God works in the supernatural. He works outside of the five senses. So even things that to the senses you look at and you can't agree with, you try to agree with just because that's all the senses see. God can disagree with the natural because he's supernatural. And he can bring something into the story that you can't see, that you can't taste that you can't hear. You're not going to see those things. But through the application of your faith, knowing, God, you said it. So I'm going to hold on to the truth of your words, knowing you are going to fulfill these things. I don't know how. I don't know what this is going to look like. When Moses came in and he said, I'm going to deliver you guys, God is fixing to come in and deliver you. He didn't say, now this is how it's going to happen, okay? So get ready. Here's step A, here's step B, here's step D. He didn't do that. He didn't lay it all out for him. He just said, this is the truth. Hold on to it. And how many times, if we're not careful, do we want to sit back and say, okay, God, like I know you said it, but I need to know how. I need to know how we're going to get from point A to point B. Because if anything comes in along the way, what do? If we're not careful, we start to lose our focus on what God's saying. And that's why it's so important to read the Word of God. And this has been such a huge encouragement for me to others at this time. Get in the Word of God, because this will be the anchor for your soul. This will establish the truths in you. And if you're just grabbing a program on the radio, if you're just going to church one or two days a week, if that's all the feeding that you're getting from the Word of God, it will not become the anchor for your soul. You might get a little hook in it every once in a while, but you need something to put your solid foundation. When a ship drops its anchor, it don't move, right? That's the whole point of what an anchor is. It grabs a hold so it remains steady and firm. We have to get into the Word of God more today than we ever have before, because that will be that anchor for your soul, to so that when the things that come in the natural that doesn't look like the supernatural is going to show up, you're anchored in your soul to know, I am steadfast. I am going to hold on right here because I know God is about to move. He's going to fulfill His Word, because His Word does not return void. That's what His Word says. When He says it, it's going to happen. And it doesn't matter what we think. It doesn't matter if we can't see it yet. It's going to happen. And I think that one of the greatest blessings we've ever been given by God is faith. To each one of us, He's given the measure, right? He has given us faith, and faith is that. Faith is the gap between the natural and the supernatural. That's what faith is. It's to hold on to the things that God is going to do, God is going to provide when I can't see it in the natural, right? All right, so let me get back to our text here. We're going to jump on over from now. We're going to go into 14 and verse 3. So they kind of talk about here as we continue the story. Once this bad message gets spread, right, they kind of start freaking out. And again, we talked about that. Death and life are in the power of your tongue, right? When you speak things, they will bear fruit. Not only can it bear fruit in your life, will it bear fruit in your life, it can also bear fruit in other people's lives if they allow that seed to come in and they begin to make that their focus. So it says here, the whole community began to weaken in the top of 14. But what I want to point out is verse 3. It says, why is the Lord taking to this country only to have us die in battle? Our wives and our little ones will be carried off as plunder. Wouldn't it be better for us to return to Egypt? Literally, on the other side of them, walking out in defiance because of the spreading of bad seed through the words, we already see they are already starting to lose hope. They are seeing God in ways they have never seen Him before. He is raining down physical food for their body every morning, like moving in supernatural ways. But if we do not keep our focus into the supernatural and we're only looking at the natural, it can change our attitude so quickly. And when there are others around us where their attitudes have changed so quickly and we listen to their voice instead of remaining to the voice of the Father, what can happen so quickly? We start wanting to go back to where we came from. Mm-hmm. Oh, why would we ever want to go back to a place that God has brought deliverance in our life? You know, we don't want to go back to the things that God has delivered us from. And I even look into the natural things right now. And I know there may be people that have been walking or free from addictions in their life, right? But then life is now getting hard. Things are getting weighty. And what is the flesh? What is the intention of the flesh sometimes? It's to want to go back, right? God has delivered you from something. Do not go back to those things, those old patterns, those old systems in your life. Do not go back to those, because they bring no more freedom now than they did then. And God delivered you from those things. So walk, continue walking in your deliverance. Do not let the enemy come in to tempt you and life to get heavy and you want to go back and pick up some of those old things because those are not for you. Maybe that's an encouragement for somebody today. So we're going to go on down through 14 to verse 9. Moses just instructs here, do not rebel against the Lord and don't be afraid of the people in the land. They are only helpless prey to us. They have no protection, but the Lord is with us. Don't be afraid. So again, we see two voices speaking, right? And anything that's not coming from God is coming from where? The enemy. So I'm not making the people here the enemy, but they're listening to his voice. And what happens when you listen to the enemy's voice? You regurgitate, right? You spread yet again the same message. But us, what is our responsibility for those who are holding the line, who are standing firm in the truths of God? The same. Speak his words. Keep speaking forth. This is what God says. Hold the line. You're going to be okay. We can do this. And that's what we see here. Don't rebel, but and see what God says here. They are helpless. I am going before you. So when God goes before you, guess what? The battle's already won. Mm-hmm. He's already taken care of it for you. Going on down, we're going to point out verse 17. So I love this. I didn't have time to read all this, but so again, we talked about God appears as the pillar of cloud before them, right? He's going before them, the pillar of fire. And he tells them, if you'll go in and you'll take care of these people, if you'll wipe them out, then you will now have this land of milk and honey. And then God gets really upset because they just start their complaining. And we see God, he wants to pass his judgment upon these people because they're not believing. They're not walking in trust in what God says. But I love this, that Moses again stands up. And I look at this, and we can look at this in our own life. We're going to have friends. We're going to have family. We're going to have brothers and sisters in Christ. That sometimes the enemy is going to get in and he's going to start talking and they're going to pay attention. And sometimes we're that person, right? And we need encouragement. We need other people to step up, to intercede on our behalf, to grab hold. And the way the word says it, that is to bear one another's burden in Christ, right? So we can fulfill that. Bear you one another's burdens. And this is what that means in Scripture, to look at that. When someone else is the one that's like, man, they're kind of getting discouraged, I can bear their burden with them. And I can say, no, man, get up. And I'm a sports guy, so I always look at that analogy of when one of the guys goes down with an ankle roll or a knee bend or whatever, what do? You see two guys go out there, and what do? They throw their arms around each shoulder, right? And the guy that's boogered up, he's got two guys on each side, and they're bearing his burden, right? They're helping him. They're walking him out of the situation that brought him down for just a moment. They're going to go pick him back up. So in verse 17, he says, please, Lord, prove that your power is as great as you claimed. And I love this so much. And then he reminds God. He reminds God of what he said. And God has been talking to me about this in the Word. There are so many times and places that I need the natural to move into the supernatural right now, whether it comes in healing in my body or finances for my family or whatever it is. The promises of God, they're all in the Word. I can do just this. What does he say in 17? For you said, he reminds God what he said. Right? He said, the Lord is slow to anger and filled with unfailing love, forgiving every kind of sin and rebellion, but he does not excuse the guilty. He lays the sins of the parents upon their children. The entire family is affected, even children to the third and fourth generations. So I read this scripture because I didn't want to leave part of it off, but I do need to make less breaks right here for a second. But he does not excuse the guilty. He lays the sins of the parents upon their children. The entire family is affected into the third and fourth generations. That does not apply for us today. That's the old covenant. We live under a new covenant now. So God does not lay the sins of us into the generations to come. That was part of the curse. We don't live in the curse, so I needed to say that. But we're focusing on the top part of this. It says, for you are slow to anger and filled with unfailing love, forgiving every kind of sin and rebellion. Moses reminded God of what you said, and what did it do? It softened God's heart once again. He said, you know what? You're exactly right. I will again withdraw my judgment upon these people, and I'm going to keep giving my mercy. And then 21, but as surely as I live, and as surely as the earth is filled with the Lord's glory, not one of these people will ever enter that land. They have all seen my glory, my glorious presence, and the miraculous signs that I performed in both Egypt and the wilderness. But again and again, they have tested me by refusing to listen to my voice. So what we see, because they attended their ear to the voice of the enemy, it completely changed their mindset. It completely changed their faith in believing that God, even though he was literally before them and with them in that moment, they became so reliant on what they could see in the natural, they forgot the supernatural. They didn't rely into the supernatural. And so God tells them, basically, those people that were meant to be free and walking out, what we see as we continue reading this story, they don't get to go in. This generation has to die. And as it says in the word, that they explored the land for 40 days, right? So now, because of that and their disobedience, they had to walk 40 years in a wilderness. And the way it talks here is that anyone under the age of 20 would remain alive, but anyone over the age of 20 would have to die in the wilderness as they wandered. Something that would have taken 9 days for God to fulfill his promise in that journey. They lost their focus already, and so because of that, they had to wander in a wilderness for 40 years and ultimately never get to walk into the promise that God had given them, right? And again, looking at that, why did they not get to walk into the promise of God? Because they let go of his truth. They listen to the voice of the enemy. And as an encouragement to you guys today, yes, the enemy is speaking all the time. But you must be attentive to the voice of God. His word says that his sheep know him and they hear his voice. When you're spending time with God in his word, when you're listening to his voice, when you're applying that to your life and saying, I'm holding on, I don't care what I see, I don't care what's going on in front of me, I don't care what's going on around me, I'm not going to let go of the truth that I know you've given me in your word and in my heart, because God speaks to us through his word. Sometimes we can grasp hold to something in the scripture and he'll just put a word inside of us and say, this is what I have for you. Don't let go, right? So let's take a break right there.